always here. Amen. Sometimes we're just not in a place where we can be receptive to that. But God is always here. He never misses a service. Hallelujah. But I want to talk to you about somebody else who never misses a service today. And this is where I could get in trouble. Whenever somebody starts talking about this one particular subject, right away, some people's defenses kind of go up because they start thinking, well, that's weird. But I want to talk to you today about a subject that, frankly, if you don't understand this, you're going to be in trouble. Spiritual warfare. Praise God. Spiritual warfare. I just told you that God never misses a service, but I want to tell you someone else who never misses a service. The devil. He's around. He's lurking here. And he's here for a reason today. And the reason why he's here is because he doesn't want you. First, he doesn't want you to enter into the service. He wants you to just kind of come in here, just stumble in here. Oh, the cares of life are so heavy. You're just so weighted down with all of your burdens. And so instead of reaching out to God for grace and strength that he wants to give you, you just kind of sit back and say, well, I'll sit this one out. Isn't it enough that I just made it today? I'm here. But I don't believe that we have to go home the way we come. Hey, we're all pretty much alike. We're different, but in a lot of ways, we are all the same. God created us all with certain characteristics, and we have to deal with these things. Praise God. I'm so glad that God has granted to us the privilege of worship, that we can come together and we can sing these wonderful songs and lift up the name of Jesus and glorify him and feel his presence. Praise God. He's here today. Another thing the devil wants to do today is distract you. There are a lot of distractions, but he wants you to be distracted. He wants your mind to be elsewhere. He wants your thoughts to be about what you're going to do the rest of the day after you leave here. You know, just anything that he can use to distract you, he will. But I believe God wants you to hear what he has laid on my heart for you today. And not because I'm such a great Bible teacher or such a great preacher, but because it's something that is so important. And I think that if we can understand this, if we can just grab hold of this, it'll make a lot of difference in our lives because we'll understand, you know, one of the principles of warfare is that you need to know your enemy. How can you fight your enemy if you don't know anything about him? Well, the devil is our enemy. Is there anyone here who thinks that the devil is your friend? The devil has only one thing in mind. His intention, his aim, is to destroy everything. He wants to destroy your life. He wants to wreck your life. He wants to ruin any chance that you have of success. The devil wants you to be a failure. Jim, you can go ahead and put the scripture up there. And I hope that you're taking notes. Last week I told you that early on in my Christian life, I started taking notes. And somewhere buried among all my treasures, I have notes that I took over 60 years ago. Some wonderful nuggets of truth that my precious, wonderful pastor back then preached. And I have never forgotten those things. If you write something down, you will remember it a whole lot better. You can't just sit here and hear this and remember it. Now, thank God we have the messages recorded. You can buy the CDs, but you can also take notes. And I'm not just saying that to say that, you know, because it's me or because I feel like that this is so important that you need to take notes. But when you come to the house of God to hear a Bible study or to hear a sermon, you ought to take notes. Amen. Praise God. And then you can go back over it and refresh your memory and be reminded of it. Praise God. So anyhow, we've established the fact that the devil is bent on your destruction. His goal is to just come totally and completely wreck your life. The devil wrecks marriages. He wrecks relationships. He brings division between people. In fact, there's absolutely nothing that he does that's good. The only thing that the devil is really good at is lying. The Bible says that he is a liar and the father of liars. Anything that you hear up here from the devil, it's going to be a lie. And I think I mentioned something to you last week about the chatterbox. Well, the chatterbox is these voices which are from the devil that just keep pounding away at your head, telling you that you're no good, that you'll never succeed. And the devil will tell you, how in the world could God ever love somebody like you? I'm glad that Brazzy said what he said here this morning, that God loves you. Anytime that you hear the voice of God, he's going to be reminding you that he loves you. He really does love you. Well, I want to go on here because I just wish that I keep rolling here. Jim, if you will roll down to about verse 7. Oh, you're there. Okay, let's read this together. Before we read it, let me just give you a little bit of background for this. The prophet Daniel is a captive in the land of Babylon. The Babylonians came against Jerusalem and took many captives back into the land of Babylon. Well, Daniel was one of them, a young man, a prophet. And at this time, he said, I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men who were with me did not see the vision, but a great terror fell upon them so that they fled to hide themselves. Let's go on. Suddenly a hand touched me, which made me tremble on my knees and on the palms of my hands. Daniel is experiencing something really powerful, really wonderful here. And he said to me, O Daniel, man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak to you and stand upright, for I have now been sent to you. While he was speaking this word to me, I stood trembling. Let's go on. Then he said to me, "Do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come because of your words." Now, I want to stop here, and I want to tell you that the devil is very, very well organized. There is a kingdom of darkness, a satanic realm, and the devil has it very well organized. In fact, as we read through this chapter, it becomes apparent that the devil has his kingdom so well organized. And let me back up here just a little bit to tell you that Lucifer was an archangel, and he rebelled against God, and he was cast out of heaven, the Bible says, with one third of the angels. And those angels that fell with Lucifer through rebellion became the principalities, princes over the different geographical areas of the world. I want to tell you an experience that I had back in the early 80s. One Sunday before service, we met back in the office area to pray, and I was back there praying with this man. He was an American Indian. I'm part Indian myself, by the way. My ancestors were here to meet yours when they arrived. But this man was an Indian, and he was struggling in his walk with God, and I was praying with him. And I reached over and laid my hand on him. Well, have you ever heard the voice of the devil? Have you ever heard the devil? Well, believe me, I've heard him several times. He does talk through people. Just hang in here with me. We'll get this going. So I reached over and laid my hand on him and started praying for him. All of a sudden I heard this very evil voice speaking through this man to me. And this voice said to me, and he called this man's name. He said, "Let him alone. He belongs to me. He's mine. You can't have him." Wow. And so I proceeded to talk back to the devil and say, "No, you can't have him. He belongs to Jesus. You can't have him." And finally, I felt impressed to ask this question. I said, "Who are you?" And this came back to me, this same voice. And through the years, I have thought about this. I've tried to put it together. This voice said, "I am Moroni." Now, I don't know if you know anything about the history of upstate New York. There was a certain religion that was founded a few miles from here. And supposedly, the founder of the religion saw an angel who was named Moroni. Well, I'm not going to go much farther with that. But what I'm trying to say is here that the devil's kingdom is organized. And let's go ahead and read some more here. "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia," okay, now this prince of Persia is one of the fallen angels. This is one of the evil angels that fell with Lucifer. Withstood me 21 days, and behold, Michael, one of the chief princes. Now, Michael is one of the archangels of God. And so Michael came to Daniel's rescue. Have you experienced sometimes when you're praying, it just feels like there's a real battle going on? There's a real struggle? Well, hey, that's normal. Because the devil doesn't want you to pray. The devil doesn't want you to win. And he will do everything in his power to keep you from winning. Whatever it is that you're struggling with in your life, whatever your weakness might be that the devil is constantly preying on and pulling you back into that thing that you're trying to get free from, it's the devil. Amen. The prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, and behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to me, for I had been left there with the kings of Persia. Now I have come to make you understand what will happen to your people in the latter days, for the vision refers to many days yet to come. When he had spoken such words to me, I turned my face toward the ground and became speechless. And suddenly one having the likeness of the sons of men touched my lips. This was one of the angels of God that came and touched his lips. And I opened my mouth and spoke, saying to him who stood before me, "My Lord, because of the vision, my sorrows have overwhelmed me, and I have retained no strength. For how can this servant of mine, my Lord, talk with you, my Lord? As for me, my strength remains in me now, nor is any breath left in me." This was quite an experience that Daniel was having. You talk about spiritual warfare going on. Daniel was experiencing spiritual warfare. He was praying for his people. His people were in captivity. His people had been taken from their homeland all the way down to Babylon, and they were being attacked and assailed and persecuted. And so he was praying for them. And while he was praying for them, the enemy was trying to prevent his prayer from being heard. You say, is that possible? Look at this. If you're praying for something and you know it's the will of God that you pray for it, don't give up. Don't ever back off and say, it's not going to happen. Because the devil is going to do everything in his power to try to keep you from receiving what God wants you to have. God has a design. He has a perfect plan for each of our lives. And that's where God wants to take us. But the devil will do everything in his power to try to keep us from getting there. And that's why the enemy is constantly assailing us. Somebody said that the mind is the battlefield of the soul. And it's up here between our ears that the battle is raging. But I am here to tell you this morning that the battle can be won. It is winnable. Praise God. How do you win this battle? You win it with the Word. Praise God. That ought to be your slogan. Win with the Word. Because the devil cannot come against the Word. He'll try to make you doubt it. He'll try to make you say it's not going to happen. But if you will persevere. Last week I told you one of the most important parts of walking with God is perseverance. Hang in there. Never give up. Hallelujah. Keep praying. Keep bombarding heaven. Amen. Hallelujah. God is for you. He loves you. He's not against you. Praise God. But if you back off and give up, you might be giving up just short of victory. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Tell you what, there have been so many times through my lifetime that I've been tempted to give up. Things were just topsy-turvy. It just seemed like nothing was going right. The devil was attacking me. I never will forget that night long ago when in the middle of the night I had one of those phone calls. And the devil was trying to destroy our very young church. The devil was using people. It was evil what he was trying to do. In the middle of the night, a phone call comes and telling me what was going on. And there was an attack on the church. And I remember standing in the back window of our house out in Fremont, and I looked out over the lights of Syracuse, and the devil was talking to me. The chatterbox was going on up here. And this chatterbox was saying to me, "It's all over. You're finished. It's done. You might as well give up." I'm so glad that I listened to the other voice. I'm so glad that I didn't listen to the chatterbox, but I listened to God. God told me it's going to be all right. And you know what happened after that? That was one of the greatest periods of growth in the history of our church. So often when the devil comes at us the hardest, it's because he knows that there's a great victory waiting for us out there. And he's going to do everything in his power to stop you, to hold you back. Praise God. Are you with me? Okay. What I'm trying to do here today, and I know the devil doesn't like it, this is an expose of the devil. I'm exposing him. I'm trying to tell you some things about your enemy that maybe you don't know, maybe you do know. But in case you don't know, you're going to know a little bit better how to fight him. The devil, like I've said, he never misses a service. We might miss, but he doesn't. The Bible declares that he's a thief and a robber, and he'll go to any length to keep you distracted, to keep you from hearing the word of the Lord. The devil, I know he's working overtime right now trying to keep some of you from hearing this, because God knows that if you get this in your heart, get this in your spirit, you're going to be victorious, and he's going to lose. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's God. I have been in this area for 46 and a half years, and I was warned before I came here. This is what I was told. Don't you know that that's a preacher's graveyard up there? But God told me to come, and I came, and I brought my little family. Philip was a year and 2 months old when we arrived. Can you imagine that guy you see up here preaching every Sunday? 14 months old. We were warned, don't go there. That's a preacher's graveyard. And when we came into this area, we immediately began to feel the darkness here. I believe that over certain parts of the country, over certain parts of the world even, that there is like a dome of darkness. And there has been a dome of darkness hanging over this area for many, many years. But I don't want to discourage you here, because we're going to win. Praise God. God's raising up an army. He's raising up warriors. He's raising up people who know how to do warfare, who know how to pray. And I want you to understand me. I'm not talking about getting weird. Sometimes when people start talking about this, they just get off into the weirdest things. This is not weird. This is real. Praise God. It's real. We're going to win. Charles Finney, who was a great evangelist here in upstate New York and throughout New England, back in the 1800s, I think it was. He preached all over upstate New York, pastored a church before he became an evangelist in the city of Adams, New York, little town up close to Watertown. And there have been many books written about him. I remember reading, I think I hit a kind of his life story, an amazing man, believed in prayer. There was a man that traveled with him. His name was Daniel Nash. Daniel Nash would go ahead of Charles Finney a week or two before he would go into an area to preach. And he would go there, and his reason for being there was to pray. He would pray 10, 11, 12 hours a day, interceding, doing spiritual warfare, preparing the way for Charles Finney to come and preach the gospel. Hallelujah. I remember reading about what happened over in the city of Rome, New York, about 40, 45, 50 miles east of here. There was such a great revival that happened over there, and so many people turned to God, but you know what happened? They had to close the taverns. Praise God. Rochester had a great revival. So he comes to Syracuse, and it was like everything just kind of fell flat. And later he wrote about that. Let me just kind of tell you a little bit about my own experience here. And I'm so glad that God has given me the grace and the strength to just stay put and not run. Hallelujah. There were so many times that we would go away from here, you know, for a conference or maybe for a little vacation or something. And I could get 50 miles away from here, and it was like, whew, the load lifted. Wow. Whew. I felt so free. Felt so good. Wow, this is wonderful. And guess what? I'd get 50 miles coming back. I'd get within 50 miles, and it would fall back on me again. And I've had so many other of my ministering brethren in this area tell me the same thing. Praise God. There's spiritual warfare. Hallelujah, hallelujah. There is an enemy that has to be defeated. Praise God. I believe God wants to do a marvelous work in this area. God wants to save multitudes of people. God wants to change the whole atmosphere here. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. I could tell you other experiences of spiritual warfare that we had. Amen. Then again, the one having the likeness of a man touched me and strengthened me. And he said, O man greatly beloved, fear not. Peace be to you. Be strong. Yes, be strong. And that's what the Lord's telling us today. Be strong. Be strong. Hallelujah. Daniel had been praying for 21 days. He had been bombarding heaven for 21 days, and it appeared that he wasn't getting anywhere. But this angel from God said, I heard you from the first day. I heard you from the first day. But the enemy was fighting against you. And there's been a battle going on in the spirit world, And now, the answer is coming. Praise God. Let me move on here. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord. Strong in the Lord. That's the secret. This is not for the weak. You say, well, I'm weak. Well, you don't have to stay weak. God's plan for you is that you be strong. Paul said, be strong in the Lord. That's where your strength comes. Your strength is in the Lord. It's not in yourself. It's not going to come from any other source. Your strength is going to come from the Lord. That's how you're going to be strong. And in the power of His might. Hallelujah. The power of His might. And when we are drawing from that, when we're drawing from the power of His might, then we can be successful. We can overcome. And then He said, put on the whole armor of God. And so many times I have, you know, I've read these verses and kind of they've blessed me, but I haven't really stopped and done a lot of thinking about this. But we're in battle, so we have to have armor. A warrior has to have armor. And so he proceeds to tell us what the armor is. That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. The devil is, he's tricky. He's wily. And so we need to put on the armor of God so that we can stand against his lies, against his tricks. Here we go. For we do not wrestle. Have you ever watched a wrestling match? I've watched some of those sumo wrestlers, I guess on TV. These great big guys, you know, and they begin picking each other up and slamming each other down. Well, Paul said that he likened to the battle that we're in as being a wrestling match. Remember Jacob wrestling with the angel of the Lord? Praise God. We wrestle not against, okay, here's this word again, principalities. Principalities. Remember back in the book of Daniel, chapter 10 that we just read, where that angel of God told Daniel that the principality of Persia, the prince of Persia, was fighting against him? I believe that there is a very strong principality that's coming against our country right now. That's fighting against our country. And the church needs to rise up and assume its position in battle and begin to, how are we going to win this battle? This is not a flesh and blood battle. This is a spiritual battle. This battle can only be won on our knees. It can only be won through prayer and seeking the face of God. Praise God. I see a lot of things going on in the church in America. It does a lot of things very well, but it doesn't do prayer very well. I think one of the things that, you know, has really, I really appreciate and has fascinated me so much over the time that I have known Pastor Jim Cimbala and the church at Brooklyn Tabernacle is their emphasis on prayer. That church was built on prayer. And every Tuesday night, I think they now there's 4,000 people that gather, and they can't wait to get there. And it seems like that in most churches, they can't wait not to get there. But they have to open the door at a certain time, and people start coming in. And the lights are turned down low, and they find a seat, and there's worship going on. I remember sitting, and it was like walking into a little bit of heaven, the powerful presence of God. That's what God wants to give us everywhere. That's what God wants to give us here at Family Worship Center. Praise God. But it's not going to just happen. It's not going to just all of a sudden one day fall on us. It's only going to happen when the people of God begin to seek the face of God. When we can go to our knees and realize that we are wrestling not against flesh and blood. It seems like that the church so often is really good about fighting among themselves, fighting each other. Praise God, but when it comes to fighting our real enemy, we don't really do a very good job of it. Hallelujah. Let's go on here. Against principalities, against powers, and look at this, the rulers of the darkness of this age. There is darkness all around us, folks. It is a darkness that we can feel. It is a darkness that every day of my life, I feel it. And I know you do. There's a battle going on. There's a battle raging. There's warfare going on. Hallelujah. The devil wants to destroy this church. He wants to destroy every gospel preaching church. I've already given you a little list of some of the things that the devil wants to destroy. He's got his sights set on your destruction. He wants to drag you down. He wants to keep pulling you down. You take one step forward and you take five steps backward. You'll never win that way, friend. The only way you're going to win is on your face before God, committing yourself to the Lord. Praise God. That's the way you win this battle. Principalities against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness. Where? It's in the air. Paul said that the devil is the prince of the power of the air. There's an unseen world that we can't see it with our eyes, but it's there. There's a struggle going on. There's a battle going on. You say, that's weird. It might be weird, but it's true. There is a battle going on around us. Amen. Spiritual wickedness in high places. Hallelujah. So then he says, you take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand. The only way you're going to be able to stand. That was a great song that we sang this morning about standing. Hallelujah. You can stand. You don't have to give up. You don't have to back up and surrender. Hallelujah. Lately, I guess some of it's because I'm getting older, but I've been waking up at these ungodly hours. And, oh, Lord, why am I waking up at 4 o'clock in the morning? And then it dawned on me. And it was like the Lord was speaking to me, and he was saying, when you wake up at 4 o'clock, I'm waking you up so you can spend time with me. Because I want you to have some chair time. See, I have a chair where I sit and talk to God. That's my chair time. Praise God. Praise God. You want to be successful in this? You want to make it? You want God to use you? You know, we say, God, use us. And God puts it back on us. He says, I want to use you. But in order for me to use you, you have to surrender your will. You have to give that part of you that you're holding back on, that you haven't surrendered. And when you give that to me, I will fill it with my presence, with my glory, and with my anointing. Hallelujah. And then I can use you. God's looking for people that he can use. I'm looking at some people here right now that God wants to use. God didn't call you to just come in here once a week for an hour and a half or 2 hours and warm a bench and you've done your religious duty. He wants to use you where you are. He wants to use you on the job. He wants to use you in your neighborhood. He wants to use you with your unsaved family members. And who knows what he might promote you to. Praise God. I've seen God reach down and take the weakest of vessels, people that nobody else thought had any ability at all, could do anything, and make them powerful servants of God. Hallelujah. You say, I don't think that I really have anything to offer. That's a lie. God didn't create you for nothing. You're not an accident. Hallelujah. You're not an accident. Would you say that with me? I am not an accident. Okay, I want you to point at yourself like this and say, I am not an accident. Okay, and I want you to say it louder than that. I want you to stand up and say it. Come on, get up. Hallelujah. Point that finger at yourself and say, I am not an accident. Hallelujah. Say it again. I am not an accident. Hallelujah. God created me for a purpose.
God created me for a purpose.
And I'm going to find that purpose.
And I'm going to find that purpose.
And I'm going to surrender my will so that God can use me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You may be seated. I believe that God is dealing with some of you about certain things that he wants you to do, so you can bring your life in line with his will. And before he can use you, you're going to have to surrender that. You're going to have to get it right. You're going to have to get it straight. And when you do, when you give it to him, he will do unbelievable things. He will use you in ways that will stagger the imagination. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm beginning to feel it now. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. There's warfare exists perpetually. It's going on all the time between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness, which is Satan's kingdom. Hallelujah. You know, Daniel's prayer was heard but hindered for 21 days. How long have you been praying about some things? You say longer than 21 days. Well, hey, if God wants you to have it, you'll get it. But you got to do what Daniel did. You got to keep praying. You got to keep seeking the face of God. See, Michael was one of the chief archangels of God. He came to help and bring a breakthrough in prayer for Daniel. I believe that the angels of God are sent to minister to us. Hallelujah. Okay, I told you that the enemy is present. Let me tell you, God has this room full of angels that you can't see. There's angels here. There are angels in this room right now ministering to you. The Bible says that the angels are ministering spirits sent to minister to them that are heirs of salvation. Praise God. Dear friend of mine, many years ago, a man that I really admired and looked up to, a very spiritual man, Joy knew Kenneth Reeves. And I remember him telling this story about a service in their church. And they were praying. They were in a time of worship. And he said that he looked back and he saw the angels going up and down through the aisles of the service, touching people, ministering to them, laying his hands on them. Hallelujah. Angel touched them. Praise God. Angel touched Jerry right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Angel's touching Philip right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. But you know what? When Brother Reeves got up to read the Word of God, you know what the angels did? They all went out into the aisle and stood at attention. That's how much they honor the written Word of God. They stood at attention. Hallelujah. But I believe that every time we come here, there is a battle going on. But God has promised us victory. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Okay. Let's move on here, Jim. Stand, therefore. Here we go. This word, stand, again. It's really important that we understand the importance of just standing. What does that mean to you, to stand? I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Amen. Stand. Having done all, stand. And look, now we're going to talk about the armor. Having girded your waist with truth. In other words, this belt or this corset or whatever you want to call it. God said, I want you to be girded about with what? Truth. The importance of God's word. Thy word, O Lord, is truth. You will never be victorious as a Christian. You're not ready to be a disciple until you become a lover of God's word. You say, I just can't get into it. Find a way. Spend time in the word. Hallelujah. Here we go. Having put on the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate went up in here to kind of protect the vital organs, the heart. Okay? And having shod your feet, hallelujah, got to put on some God shoes. Your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith. You've seen pictures of those warriors and they have a shield. Well, that shield was there to protect themselves from the spears. Back in those days, they didn't have guns. They had spears and maybe darts. But they would hold that shield up and it would protect them. See, the devil is constantly throwing darts at us. You hold up your shield and you can deflect them. With which, I haven't finished there, with which you will be able to quench, look at this, all the fiery darts of the wicked one. The fiery darts of the wicked one. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Okay. And take, look at this, the helmet. Okay, where does the helmet go? It goes on the head, and that's where the mind is. We've talked quite a bit the last couple of weeks about the mind, the place that the mind plays in all of our walk with God. The devil attacks your mind. The chatterbox. You've got to have that helmet. You've got to protect your mind, which is the Word of God. And then look at this. Here we come back to this. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Can somebody tell me what supplication is? Okay. Supplication. Asking, praying, seeking God for things. Supplication. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. And then finally, the sword of the Spirit. Okay, now, the sword of the Spirit. What is the sword of the Spirit? The Word of God. Here we come back to God's Word again. That's your sword. That's your sword. Keep it in your hand. Praise God. I like to carry my Bible around. Not just to show off. We used to kind of get a big kick out back in the Jesus people days. Some of those hippies that turned to Christ, they get Bibles that were as big as a suitcase and carried around. Hallelujah. Doesn't matter if it's a testament or if it's a big Bible, just so you got the Word of God. I love my Bible. I love my time in the Word. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. It has to be a daily part of your life. In fact, the very first step of discipleship is learning the Word of God. You're not even ready to go on as a disciple until you say, well, I just have a hard time. Praise God. God will open your understanding, and it can become precious to you. Praise God. Praise God. This morning, we were kind of rushing around the house, getting ready to come, and we usually take time for devotion, praying together, and reading God's Word together. Well, we were kind of rushing this morning, so I said, well, I'm just going to quote Scripture today. And just like that, the 23rd Psalm came to me. And there was so much comfort and peace that just kind of settled down over me. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He restoreth my soul. Hallelujah. He leadeth me beside still waters. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. And then praying in the Spirit. Intense, fervent praying. Praise God. Hallelujah. Be watchful, persevering. Thank you, Lord. Hang in here with me. I know I'm going a little long, but I just really have felt this on my heart this week. Praise God. Now let's read 2 Corinthians 10. For though we walk in the flesh, amen. How many of you know that you have a physical body? Yeah. That's what we're looking at right now. This is my physical body. That's yours that I'm looking at. And there's a battle going on in the flesh. We're dealing with the flesh. We're dealing with the realities of life. Life gets very real. It gets very complicated. A lot of things happen to us. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so Paul said the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not carnal. In other words, We're not fighting with boxing gloves and guns and swords. This is not a flesh and blood battle. This This is a spiritual battle. We're doing battle in the spiritual realm. Praise God. I think that some Christians today are having a hard time understanding that the church is not a militia. Amen. That this is not a militia. We're in a spiritual battle. We're not fighting each other. Praise God. We're not going to win the battle if we're attacking each other. And you're not going to win people to Christ. I heard something this morning that just, I heard something that was really something. This was a kind of a Hindu, an Indian proverb that said, if you cut the other guy's nose off and you hand the rose to him, he can't even smell it. Praise God. Hallelujah. You know, if we want to win people to Christ, we have to show them the love of Christ. Amen. What does Jesus really look like? Does he look like that guy standing on the street corner in the city, sending everybody to hell? No, that's not what Jesus looks like. Praise God. Okay, I'm just about done. Here are some of our weapons. We've already talked a lot about prayer, the Word of God, and worship. And then we have to pull down strongholds. Let me talk just a little bit about the strongholds. Anything that you allow to dominate and rule your life can become a stronghold. I want to make sure that you get that. Whatever you allow to dominate your life can become a stronghold. It become just a it controls you. You become addicted to it. And you reach a point where you say, well, I can't live without it. And yet you know it's destroying you. It's a stronghold. God wants to break down the strongholds. The strongholds in your life. He wants to break those down. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. There are satanic, demonic strongholds. There's an unseen battle that's going on, but we see the results. There's so much happening in our world today. It's like, you know, I'm going to be, in a little over a month, I'm going to be 79 years old. I just can't believe it. And I have never seen the world like it is right now. You know, in the course of a week, almost 300 people die. A plane being shot down. All of the other stuff that's happening, just all at the same time. Craziest weather that I've ever seen in my lifetime. It's unreal. Praise God. Hallelujah. And then he said that we have to cast down imaginations. We're back at the mind again. You can start imagining things. Oh, yeah. The devil crawls up here and he says, check this out. Look at this. And it becomes an imagination. God wants to cast that down. He wants to give you a clean heart and a clear mind. Hallelujah. Evil thoughts. Every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And finally, we end with this. The goal is, according to Paul, to bring all of our thoughts, all the thoughts of our minds, into the obedience of Christ. That he becomes the Lord of our mind. Yes, Lord. I hear your voice. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Will you bow your head right now? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. BJ, would you come up? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Would you stand? Praise God. Praise God. Would you all stand, please? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 While every head's bowed, every eye's closed. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. We're in a real fight, a real battle. It's a battle for your soul. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. I want you to know that it is a winnable battle. You can win. What is the difference between an on-fire Christian and someone that is a Laodicean, lukewarm? We have a lot of Laodiceans today, lukewarm. God's looking for people that He can set on fire with a passion. First, a passion for God, a hunger for God. Hallelujah. Do you remember, some of you, how it was in the early days of your Christian life? You were so passionate. You were so hungry. You just couldn't get enough. And then somewhere along the line, something happened. You just kind of lost that. You're still a Christian. You're still serving the Lord. You still come to church. You're still faithful. But the passion is not there. Praise God. God wants to rekindle the flame. He wants to rekindle the fire. He wants to set you on fire again. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, labashanda rabakaya. Kiyata dabahatolo boshata nabokomboriotala. Shili ambori otolo bokuya talaboko shandara babakaya. Hila boho shandara bokundolo bokuya talabo. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. Lord, set me afire. Set my heart ablaze with your love. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. While every eye is closed and every head is bowed, I feel impressed to do this. Is there someone back there and you know that there's a stronghold in your life that you're struggling with? And you want to just come forward, and Brasley, would you come on down here? And Joy and Ressie, praise God. Just come down here and be ready to join me. Hallelujah. You know there's a stronghold in your life. You're struggling with it. You want to be victorious. You want to be an overcomer, but it just seems like that you get just so far and then you're just dragged right back down into it again. Anybody like that? Anybody like that? If so, would you just come on down here? Come on down here. Hallelujah. You want to surrender the stronghold. Surrender that stronghold. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Anyone else? Anyone else? Just be honest. Be honest with God. Honest with yourself. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just come and say, Lord, I surrender that part of my heart that I haven't surrendered. I give it to you. That stronghold, Lord, break that stronghold in me. Break it. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Just go ahead and start praying with these that have come. Praise God, praise God. If you feel impressed to minister to somebody, if the Holy Spirit directs you today to minister to somebody, if you have a word for somebody, go ahead and be obedient and give it, and give that word. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. 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 Praise God. 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 Hallelujah. 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 Sister Linda, you come and help us pray. Okay. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Anyone else? Hallelujah. 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 Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Oh, Jesus, 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 Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. God wants to fill that void. He wants to fill that empty place. He wants to give you victory over your weakness. Hallelujah. Let him fill that void. Let him fill that empty place with his power, with his might, with his strength. He wants you to be strong. Hallelujah. Not weak, but strong. Oh, thank you, Jesus. 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 Pray for Bob. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, Tia. Praise God. Praise God. Lord Jesus. Lord, you know all about Tia. Hallelujah. You know what's going on in her life, Lord. You know her secrets. You know that part of her, Lord, that she's struggling with, that she wants to give to you. Just pray in Jesus' name, Lord, that you will fill that void, that empty place with your power, with your presence, with your glory. Hallelujah. God, you are great and greatly to be praised. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Bless you. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. He's the healer of broken hearts. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Bless you, Linda.
Thank you for that word today.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. You want to close it? Close it. Okay. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I surrender. I surrender. withholding nothing, withholding nothing, I surrender all. I surrender all. Withholding nothing, withholding nothing, withholding nothing, withholding nothing, withholding nothing, withholding nothing. Would you stand right now? Hallelujah. I'm just going to sing this a little bit, and then I'm just going to dismiss you in Jesus' name. But I want you to remember, especially those of you that came forth, as you begin your week, it starts today when you walk out of those doors. Remember what you did. You gave it to him. Don't pick it back up. Don't grab a hold of it again. Don't think about it again. Don't let the enemy plague your mind with it again. Let it go. Surrender it. Amen. I surrender all. I surrender all. Withholding nothing.